The lesson that I am teaching today is not an accusation. It is simply an observation. So scoot up your chair, lean in, and be blessed. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." These times are upon us. We speak of this virus as being contagious. So is love, grace, mercy, but so is revival. All of these are contagious. And no doubt you are asking the question, where does revival begin? And where shall we start? Revival is a heart condition and must begin in the human heart. For out of the heart flows the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Revivals have never been known to begin in the world with the worldly crowd. They began within the framework of the church. The church is the agency which God has chosen to give to the world as the light and salt of the earth. And here only can revival begin. The Bible says in 1 Peter, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Notice Peter's statement, "If it began at us." In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we have an account of a spiritual awakening. When Hezekiah, the righteous king, came to the throne, the doors of the house of the Lord had been shut up, and the lamps of the house of God had been put out. But Hezekiah called Israel to a revival. And notice where this revival began. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29, in verses 10 and 11, Hezekiah says, "It is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent." And in verse 16, the Bible says that the priests went into the inner parts of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all of the uncleanliness that they found in the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord. We are his building. Know you not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I want you to notice that this revival began in the heart of Hezekiah. I want you to notice that there is a contagion about revival. It is impossible for true saints of God to be on fire of the Holy Spirit without affecting someone else. When Hezekiah gave his command, the priests went into the inner parts of the house of God to cleanse it. It took 8 days for the cleansing of the temple, but when everything was properly restored in the house of God, the Bible tells us, when the burnt offerings began, the songs of the Lord began also. Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people. Revival is a matter of the heart. The great sin of our day is that so-called Christians are not grieved over the conditions of our time. They wink at sin, commit iniquity, and blush not, taking the world into the church, but failing to take the church into the world. All of these writings tell me that revival must begin with God's people. Revival will never begin until something happens to shock us out of our lethargy and to awaken us from our present condition. It seems as though the devil has chloroformed, duped, and hoodwinked the people of God until they have lost their spiritual sensitivity and are pleased to go through the motions of religion without a true demonstration of the fruit of Christianity. Many excuses are offered today for the lack of revival. Christians spend much of their time looking around them, trying to determine why revival does not come, confessing the faults of others, blaming the decadent times on which we live, on various inventions to commit sin, the spirit of the age, the apostasy of our day, and many other things they are looking for to blame this day and time on. It is not a circumspectly look that the church needs, but an introspective look, not confessing the faults of others. The Word of God tells us, confess your faults one to another. 2 Corinthians tells us, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, tells us, let us search and try our own ways and turn again unto the Lord. In Psalms 139, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Some church members are looking for the golden wedge or the Babylonian garment. They are trying to blame the lifelessness of the church and the spiritual deadness on someone else. They have become spiritual detectives with their magnifying glasses, trying to find fault in the minister or other some church member. But Jesus said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt you see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. These spiritual detectives with a holier-than-thou attitude, trying to point out the causes for the lack of revival in other people, are carrying a beam in their own eyes while they are trying to pluck a splinter out of some brother's eye. Splinter pluckers they are, straining at gnats and swallowing camels, when they should cry out, God be merciful unto me. When revival begins in your own heart, everything else will come into proper focus. When we look into our own hearts, we see our own selves. We see the neglect of the Word. The old book has become an ornament on the shelf and not a blueprint for our lives. This book we call the Bible serves as a guide to faltering feet and stumbling saints. And when you see yourselves, the things that through backslidden eyes seem small and trifling will grow up as huge barriers, clogging the channels of the Spirit of God. You will see the little foxes that spoil the vine. You will see the small fly that causes the ointment to stink. When you look inside, you will see the bareness of your life, the absence of tears, the lack of desperation for the lost. It is only then that Christians can see the world in its doomed condition. The church is blind to the conditions of the world because She is blind to her own condition. When Isaiah was touched with a coal of fire and spoke to the people through blistered lips, he cried out, "Here I am, send me." When the church is touched with coals of fire from the altars of God, they will be a vision of the fields ready for the harvest. My friend, I believe that revival can come again. Let us arise to the task and bring revival to our day.